Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
For many of you, our guest speaker doesn't really need an introduction, but for those of you that don't know him, I really take great pleasure in introducing Dr. Rod Earls, Director of Missions for the Central Valley Baptist Association. In the first service, I said Central Valley Southern Baptist Association. That's what I prefer, but it's not really called that. But I'd like to have you come, Brother Rod, and break open the Word for us.
Thanks,
and
Paul.
We thank you for coming and blessing us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you again. I love being here because you all know how to worship. Not that other churches don't. It's just great to be in the house of God, and I appreciate so much what takes place here when you all come together to honor Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, and that's what we always want to be doing. When we come together here corporately, as well as in our individual walks 24/7, that we are really doing what we do, why we do it, with that objective and that motivation. And I'm not all that happy about being here for the occasion I'm here because of your pastor not feeling so good. And I'm calling on you, as I did the first service, you younger bucks, just do whatever you got to do to get him on an exercise program and just take turns with him one day a week and wear him out. But that'll put him to sleep easier and better at night, and then he'll be in better shape too. And whatever works. I'm kind of hoping today I get to go home later this afternoon, get down the farm where my family lives in Madeira, and go jogging. I'm just wired for heat. I love it. But just whatever works, you know, do it and get involved and help him get involved in taking care of that heart. And thank you so much for the men stepping up and the deacons already leading out in various ways on that. This text today and this subject matter, I want us to consider together the standard of increasing faith. And our text are the two scriptures, Luke chapter 17:5 and also 1 John 5:4. The apostles expressed to Jesus very pointedly, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And then John, who's, it's kind of surprising that the apostle of love, the disciple who is always talking about love, it's replete throughout the Gospel of John, especially in 1 John, as we have as our text, 1 John 5:4, but he's the one that writes, we love him because he first loved us. And as he records about Jesus' words, if we truly love him, Jesus, we will do what he says. And it just seems like John was that especially gifted one, the one who had that strength, that wiring to really give us an understanding, an insight to love and the need for love in our lives. But in 1 John 5:4, he actually calls us to pick up basically the sword. He says, that which is born of God overcomes the world, and this is what overcomes the world, our faith. And he just plainly, simply, but pointedly says, it's a fight, this matter of faith. Now, I want us to get into this as far as what the text is saying to us of these two verses. And quite clearly, again, the matter of it being increasing faith. Now, I trust many of you here already have started your journey with Jesus Christ. If you have not yet become a believer in Jesus Christ personally, this is the greatest day it can be of your life to start that officially, that relationship with Him as Savior and Lord in your life. But following Jesus Christ is ever a forward moving matter. It is never a static, never coming to a plateau and stopping, never I've arrived. The Apostle Paul, whom God used to write more than half of the New Testament, said at the end of his life, I have not yet arrived. True? Philippians 3, I am still pressing. I hope and pray I go out that way. With that attitude, with that passion in my life. And God wants, and He had put it into the hearts of these apostles. They had been hanging around Jesus. They had been spending time with Him. They had been watching Him in ministry action. They had seen Him pray. They had watched Him as He interacted with people. And they just knew. And this was what was solidly, clearly in their hearts. and they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. Don't let it come to a standstill. Don't ever let me think I've arrived. Let me be growing deeper in my convictions, stronger in my confidences, in trusting you, in following you, and obeying you. Now, there's three things in the outline. If you can go ahead and just throw it up there for us. The object of their concern was their faith. Secondly, note again the apostles, their passion. They wanted an increasing faith. And thirdly, they knew the source that would bring this increasing faith into their lives. We're going to look at these three things together. The first one, the object of their concern was their faith. Would you just kind of look at that first point there and note and underscore, if you want to write these outlines down in the outline, it's in the bulletin, or if you want to just put it in your Bible. It was their faith. Note Luke 17:5, the apostles say to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Right? They didn't say to him, you know, this is a solo act, my faith. They said, increase our faith. Now, I want to park there just for a second. I think it's always important in studying God's Word. Boy, we just need to, you know, look at everything that's there because it's all inspired according to 2 Timothy 3:16. Every word of God is inspired. And we need to catch every word that God says to us. Now, the apostles pray, they declare, they passionately petition Jesus to say to him and ask of him, Lord, increase our faith. I think this is a grand opportunity in the life of this church. You've already learned much about prayer. But with pastor's challenges he experienced last weekend and what's going on for all of us, at this time in this church, it's a great opportunity to learn more about prayer collectively. The church is called a team in Scripture. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3:8 in the New Living Translation that it actually uses that metaphor in describing us as a group of Christians collected in one community area of a local church. We're called a team. And it's always about the team in Scripture. That's why Jesus prayed four times just before he was crucified in John chapter 17. Father, make them one as you and I are one. Make them one so that the world will know that you sent me. That this gospel is credible, that it's powerful. Because it makes a change in people's lives. They can come together selflessly and act as a real team. One of my favorite reads is John Wooden, and his accomplishments at UCLA was part of the matter that he was always able to take these high-powered egos, young guys coming out of high school across the nation, bring them together to play for him there at UCLA, and they played selflessly together as a team for the team's objective. That's exactly what Jesus Christ has called us to do. He's our coach. He's called us all to be players on his team. And there's great things he can orchestrate if we'll do it together. Now, there's always the need of the church praying for the pastor praying for the church, the pastor praying, the people praying. Let me make a statement. And I just to, again, underscore this word that's in the text, Lord, increase our faith. If you want to soar with the eagles, you've got to get around eagles. If you're going to be a champion, you've got to get around champions. True? Lord, increase our faith. The holiest church is the most powerful church. Iron sharpening iron. I want that in our family of churches as an association of churches in this Central Valley. God wants it in each of our lives. God wants it for this church. The apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. As each one of us take up the call, take up the onus of submitting ourselves totally to God, every closet in our hearts, every room of our lives, our ambitions, our thought life, our values that we let drive us every day, the holiest church will be in the most powerful church. And that's a call on every one of us. Every one of you is influencing every other person in this group. Real quickly, the object of their concern. Number one, we should be very careful of our faith, both as to its rightness and its strength, our doctrine and our depth. If you want to write this down, 2 Timothy 2:15. We teach that to our children. It's a great verse. It says, let's not be ashamed, but be faithful workers, handling the Word of God accurately, so that we can rightly divide the Word of God. Actually, that one verse alone is calling all of us to have PhDs. We're all called to be doctors in that we handle this book and bring it into our lives and basically do what's talked about so many places of Scripture, particularly like Hebrews chapter 12, that we lay aside those things that entangle us. True? We are to cut away the flesh. Hebrews 4:12, this Word of God, it's a sword that cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. This Word of God, if applied into our lives faithfully and accurately, will cut away the flesh. And as we sang, what will be seen in our lives is Jesus Christ. So we want to make sure our faith is careful and that we're giving it careful attention both as to its rightness and as to its strength, its depth. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up, love edifies. The better job I do with the Word of God in my life and listening to it, in heeding it, in doing what it says, the less will people see Rod Earls, the more they will smell, feel, and hear Jesus Christ. True? For all of us? Wouldn't that be a great thing in our marriages? If my wife can just count on old Rod every night he comes in, acting like Jesus Christ, wouldn't that make marriages better? Stronger? Wouldn't that make children more secure? That they could look to parents who act like Jesus Christ, who have the love of Jesus Christ 24/7. We're not perfect. We won't get there until we get to heaven, right? But on the journey, we're learning to be that kind of a person day in and day out because we're making sure we're giving careful attention to our faith. The faith of our fathers, the faith that Jesus Christ died for us that we could have it on the cross. Secondly, be growing in faith because all graces received depend on it. Now again, think of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Anybody need any of those things? I need some self-control. I don't know about you, but between now and the time I lay my head down tonight, I'm going to need a lot of self-control, a lot of issues. And so do you. And all the graces that we receive in our lives come to us through the vehicle of faith. Now, it's Jesus Christ that saves us, but it's faith by which He uses that means to transport His grace into our lives. Jesus said over and over again in the Scriptures, according to your faith, be it unto you. He declares that faith is that means by which all graces of God are experienced, are received, are embedded into our lives and our hearts and our minds and our behavior. Number three, give great attention to your faith because Christ thinks so much of it. Just like we just said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If you want to look at the word precious, there's three places in the New Testament where the word precious is used. It talks about us having a precious blood that we've been bought by. We have precious promises that He has given us. And we have a precious faith. Jesus says, time and time again, your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. And number four, take care of your faith, because otherwise you will never rival or accomplish your life's purpose. Now, Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ. The husband I need to be, the father I need to be, the student at school I need to be, the person at work I need to be, the person in the particular family role I'm in. I'm now both a husband, a father, and now I'm a trifold. I'm a grandfather. Through Christ, I can be that person that I deep down inside desire and dream to be. Through your faith, that's how you're going to be able to experience your life's purpose. All of us are wonderfully created. That's not just me talking, that's the Bible talking in Psalms. God has wonderfully created you. It's like Bertha Smith with the Billy Graham Crusade used to sing, God doesn't make junk. You're special. If you need a greater argument, look to the cross. Jesus Christ would not have died for you and for me if he didn't see great potential in each of our lives. Now again, just to help us from Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture, think about again Ephesians chapter 6, where it delineates for us the Christian armor. And it talks about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel to go share and be on mission with Jesus Christ, being a missionary for him with our lives and our mouths. It talks the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But it talks about the shield of faith. And I'm sure, Pastor, and other venues you've studied, how that shield at that time, the way they practiced it, and that Paul was very vividly thinking on as he knew about warfare at that time and era. The shield was very tall, usually about 5 feet, and the guys could actually get behind their shields. It was thick wood covered in thick leather. And as arrows were shot many times with flaming, that's why it says flaming missiles in Scripture, they would shoot them, they could get behind those shields and hit that thick leather and quench that fiery dart or fiery arrow. Great protection. Again, the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. They knew if they were going to hang around Jesus, they had to be growing. And Peter finishes this whole letter in 2 Peter 3:18, say, to all of us, grow and keep on growing in your faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because that's the kind of Savior He is. He's always moving forward. He's always got more ground for you and I to take in His grace, in His holiness, in His character in our lives. And in our lives bearing fruit to the Father's glory. We're to be moving forward. Jesus said, Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So we're to be moving forward. And faith is that element that God has gifted to us and wants to increase in our lives so that we can keep moving forward, taking more ground of His ways and His wisdom and His work in our lives. Secondly, note what passionated the apostles. Again, it was an increasing faith. We sang together, Amazing Grace. And it is amazing, isn't it? That He would save a wretch like me. If it was reversed between Rod and God, and I was God and he was Rod, I probably would have checked Rod out a long time ago. And you can say the same thing. It is an amazing grace. And it is an amazing grace whether you know it or not. But the good news is God wants you to know it by personal experience. It is amazing grace. And He wants to live in it day in and day out. Graced people are gracious people. It changes you, doesn't it? It just makes you different. Praise God. It puts a Holy Spirit in our spirits, in our attitudes, in our hearts, in our behavior, in our walkie-walkie and our talkie-talkie. Who has ever read of a victory that overcame the world? That's what John writes. And this is what overcomes the world, even our faith. The apostles they had caught a glimmer of the value of this faith in Jesus Christ, what it could do in life, what it could do to those around us, and they didn't want to lose it. And John just writes about it years later. This is what overcomes the world, even our faith. Someone has written this: prevailing prayer is prayer that pushes right through all difficulties and all obstacles, drives back all the opposing forces of Satan, and secures the will of God. It continues on the offensive for God until spiritual victory is won. I am amazed of the little dogs that discourage me at times and get me off track. And my faith is so small. I'm in desperate need of increasing faith in my life. God wants us to be saints, followers of Christ, who believe God's soul, that what He says to us in the Word of God, we believe that it's ours. And we will believe Him and even prevail in prayer and in pursuit of that, because He has gifted us that. What did He say in Luke 18 about the unjust judge and the lady that was in need? And He goes through those eight verses in Luke 18. He says, you ought always to pray and not faint. If God's work is to grow around me, if my life is to be useful in helping more people see His love and find His Son, His work's got to grow within me first. Isn't that neat, though? That God would allow and wants for us to grow bigger on the inside so they can grow bigger on the outside. Big people grow big churches. Not that big is always better, but if it's going to truly grow big as far as more lives coming to find God's power and peace and presence in their lives and their homes, it's going to take bigger people. And so the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. God, you're too good for me to limit you with a little faith or with a static faith or a faith that's not growing. God, please increase our faith. You deserve it. This world needs it. And I want it. And this faith does make a radical difference. It's what's born of God. You know, think about this whole born-again theme that Jesus talked about in Scripture to Nicodemus. It's like, you know, if you were able to take the heart out, totally empty of all the stuff that's in there, and give it all the new life of God and put it back inside of a life. It's a radical difference. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are new creations in Christ. You're a new creature. God's Spirit lives inside of you, giving you new desires, new dreams, new determinations. You know, I think sometimes we think about, you know, we get an idea about wanting to serve God some way, or, you know, do something or be someone more like Jesus Christ in our lives. And we dismiss the thought thinking, well, that's just my own flesh, or some other thought. It didn't come from God. No, Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, God is at work in you, giving you the will and the want to do of His good pleasure. Those thoughts are coming from God. His Spirit jealously wants to control you, James 4, 5. And He does want to teach us how to be filled with Himself through a growing faith. Lastly, what was the source that these apostles declared that would and could give them an increasing faith? Note the word again. They went to the Lord. Lord, Lord, only You. You are the one appointed. You are the one anointed. You are the one ordained to give faith and to increase it. I think sometimes we as Christians, it's like this series of songs that were released a couple of years ago about the worship music being reversed. And the phrases go, "Oh, I lift my name on high. Oh, I love to sing my praises." And all these worship songs just insert, you know, the first pronoun in there. And we do that a lot as Christians. We get so stuck on ourselves. And instead of looking unto Jesus, we're looking at our limitations, our weaknesses, our stumblings, and we get so camped on what I cannot do, I never give God room by thinking what I could do if I just tried in the name of Jesus. That's what He has invited me to in the Word of God. John 15:1-5, Jesus just made it so clear. Without me, you can do nothing. Remain in me. Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Throughout the Old and New Testament, clinging to, especially in the Old Testament, that phrase is used, clinging to God, clinging to His promises. In the 1800s in Europe, there was a missionary named J.G. Onken. And there weren't a whole lot of Baptist churches at that time in the country of Europe. And he traveled over the different nation states of Europe. He passed out thousands of Bibles, did lots of evangelism work, started a couple of schools. His motto was this: every Baptist a missionary. Every Baptist a missionary. Now, some of you saints that are older than I am know this better than I do. But we in our earlier days as a group of Christians called Southern Baptists, we used to teach that all the time. In fact, I was taught that as a royal ambassador. I will do my best. And basically it said to be a missionary for Jesus. And all Sunday school. Sunday school wasn't to come together and just study the Word of God. Sunday school was to put us on mission each week, reaching out to our lost friends and unchurched neighbors and guys that we worked with and touched, and bring them to Jesus, bring them into Bible study so they can learn a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Sunday school was to make us all missionaries. Not to increase our gray matter or what other matter. It was to make us missionaries. I shared in the first session, when I was preparing for the ministry at Dallas Seminary in the 80s, one time a man came and spoke in our chapel and preached probably the best message we ever heard in chapel in the early 80s at Dallas Seminary. And his name was a guy named Tom Landry. I was sitting in the library after lunchtime following chapel, and there comes a guy walking into the library. My jaw dropped. I started shaking, and it was Tom Landry. I mean, he had no other place to go. He was walking right in front of me, so I got to meet him. They were at the height of their prowess in the NFL at the time. And just a very humble, common man. And then I heard another guy go up and meet him, and they were talking about he had been a college football player, and they were sharing some things. And, you know, anybody that would have been chosen by Tom Landry to play for the Dallas Cowboys, he was expecting for them to play, right? I mean, he wouldn't. Back in those days, Tom Landry, somebody asked him one time, "Is that an all-pro prospect?" He says, "We select no one unless they're an all-pro prospect." Now, Jesus says in John 15:16, "You did not choose me. I chose you." If Jesus Christ is the greatest coach who has ever lived. And again, 1 Corinthians 3:8 says we're a team. Paul and Timothy says we're an army. We're compared to an athlete, to a farmer, a farm. If Jesus Christ, the greatest coach who has ever lived, has chosen you, what do you think He expects of you? He wants to use you. He sees what you and I don't see right now. He sees such potential in your life that Ephesians 3:20-21 says, "You have not yet dreamed of it." you have not yet imagined what he wants to do through you. My last work at school was on a guy named Charles Spurgeon. The story again just is so encouraging to me. One of the ladies in their church, Lavinia Strickland Bartlett, they practiced giving their regular Sunday school teachers there in London sabbaticals. She was asked to take three young adult women and take care of them for that 8-week session of those 2 months. She reluctantly accepted the challenge. She stayed with that class, and some 10 to 12 years later when she died, there was 900 young adult women who had been won to Christ, baptized, and added to the church. Just through one layperson. One layperson's influence and leadership. What can God do with your life if you just sign up? If you just sign up. Matthew 25. It's a great parable, the talents. But what it does teach clearly is that He has invested talents in you and He's expecting a return. Lord, increase my faith. Would you stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed as we close this time together? In just a moment, we're going to pray. And after we pray, the worship leaders are going to lead us with a hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to two invitations that's in these texts for us this morning. Number one, that which is born of God. I want to invite you to ask, have I really had that life experience with Jesus Christ that I know He is with me and I am with Him? He is my Savior. He is my coach, my Lord. If you're not able to say that, I want to invite you, after we pray, just to step out from where you're standing and come. Bob and others will be here at the front to receive you this morning and to help you nail that down between you and Christ. And number two, if you have never said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a missionary. In other words, I want to be available to fulfill your mission. Why you left me here on this earth when you saved me instead of taking me out right then. I don't want to miss that. The last time we were together, we talked from Matthew 9. Jesus says, pray ye, you pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. If you have not prayed that prayer, Lord, send me. Sincerely, I want to challenge you to pray that prayer this morning. You can do it where you're standing. Some of you will want to just come and use this altar at the front as a special time to nail down that direction of your life with the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for what you have said to us. Thank you for what you have invited us to partake of with you and for what you have called us to enter into with you. You are so great, Lord. And thank you that you've got it all worked out, even though we don't have it figured out. But we can trust you with our lives. In Jesus' name, with each head bowed, every eye closed, as the worship team leads us in this hymn of response to Christ's call, if you need to take that step just to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord for the first time, I want to invite you just to step out from where you are and come and meet one of these deacons. Let them pray with you. And nail that down. If you just want to come and say to the Lord, Lord, I am sincerely asking you, send me. I want to respond to your call. Use me. How you've wired me, how you've made me, how you can for your cause, use me. You come just to nail that down with the Lord. As they sing, you come.
Wash away all the sin that's in my life.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.